Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Thanks for the lively discussion today. I did a Loho Daily on Marquee that's a little bit more expert-filled. So if you want to check it out, it is available on Loho Daily. Thanks to Herbie. Thanks to Campy for all their hard work and their NFL thoughts. I'm sure there'll be more NFL thoughts coming up today between 2 and 6. Why? Well, one, because McNeil's here, and that's kind of his thing. And two, Mark Grody's here with a beard.
I got a beer, and it's coming a little bit too gray for my taste, I got to tell you.
Oh, you haven't seen your face with a beard in a while, have you?
Grody has the I work for ComEd look going today with the flannel slash hoodie.
Yep.
Looks like the hair hasn't been washed yet. Did you just get out of bed an hour ago, fella?
I actually dampened myself today and, you know.
Had a moistening,
yeah,
did you?
Yeah, had a moistening moisturizer.
I shouldn't be like that. You worked late last night, later than you were expected to, so I shouldn't be that way.
This
is radio. I mean, you don't have to look really, really super nice for it. That's one of the things I like about it.
It's the beauty of it. Yeah, I worked last night with Julie DeCaro 7 to 10, and it was after the Bulls game, so it was right out of the gates talking Bulls. Sometimes you have no idea if Bulls fans are going to want to talk, but they were very talkative, were Bulls fans, after that loss to Milwaukee last night.
I assume a high percentage of it was extremely negative.
Very negative. I don't think anybody expected that the Bulls were going to go to Milwaukee and beat the Bucks, but sometimes it's the way a loss happens that is extremely discouraging, and the fact that the Bulls shot, 37%, they allowed Milwaukee to shoot over 50% in the game.
Milwaukee turned it over 23 times.
Yeah, and you didn't take advantage.
Beat the crap out of you.
Right.
Markkanen shot. He was 0-for-7 from 3-point. Is that what I? Yeah, I thought I read that this morning.
That
I
is
saw
correct.
KC Johnson's piece, and I heard KC on with Mully and Haw today. Anytime it's Bulls conversation, it's a shower of negativity. But I understand why. I feel badly for Bulls fans. I am not invested in this outfit. It's great for me when they're good, but they're not, so I feel bad. But don't spend your money over there. As meat-headed as that sounds, that's the only thing that can affect change, because the losing doesn't seem to get to the Reinsdorfs. It's year after year of it. Until the building is only half full, I don't know where the pressure is on John Paxson. And until the head of the snake is chopped off, I hate to call him a snake. Not a snake. What would you call him?
You're going to get a text message now.
No,
fella. He's a friendly lizard.
Yeah, a friendly lizard.
He's a gecko.
A chamois lion.
He's a gecko.
He's a gecko.
Gecko.
Yeah, he's a gecko. Well, the attendance.
That's the only thing that would make a Bulls fan truly happy right now. You could change the head coach and find somebody who wants to work with the talent he has instead of ask him to do. Where have we seen this movie in recent months?
Well,
Markkanen, don't take the ball to the basket. Just camp out on the perimeter.
Oh. Well, that's the thing that has me. I'm not upset because I've already abdicated my feelings on the Bulls, but Markkanen, yesterday was his ninth game where he scored in single digits.
I heard you say that. I knew he had a few. I didn't realize it was nine of them.
20% of his games this season, he scored in single digits. And you compare that to only four games last year out of 51. So that's pretty much apples to apples. And then his rookie year, he only had eight that he did in 68 games. Which
How
is
it a guy gets worse?
Played.
He puts on some muscle and he gets worse. Explain that one to me. I'm basketball stupid, so I need education. Illuminate it.
I don't think that he's necessarily put in the right spot. I don't think that it feels like his temperament is not right to be a superstar. That he's one of those guys that, oh, you're good. And he's kind of good with being good.
Where, yeah, I'm going to make a lot of money and life is just fine, right?
Whereas you see LaVine, like LaVine is like, no, give me the ball.
Right.
I'm going to do some stuff. Like, even though no one else is, I'm going to do some stuff. And I wish that there was just a touch more of that in marketing, because in the games in this season where he has done that, he is a double-double machine.
Right.
And you want to see it, like, but there's no way that a player at this point in his career that is as talented as he is on a team that doesn't have a lot of scoring should be having single-digit performances to the frequency at which he is having them.
Yesterday is a great example, too, because the Bulls were not – they lose 111-98, but it was not a blowout. It was a close game throughout most of – well, they were down, what, two at halftime?
You knew that they weren't going to win.
You knew they weren't going to win, but in the second half, back to Markkanen, zero. He scored 0 points in the second half of the game, and most of his buckets were kind of cheap in the first half at that.
Two putbacks and four free throws.
Yeah. I'm okay with the putbacks.
Yeah, that's true.
You're
that's
supposed
aggressive.
To be rebounding.
Right. Welcome to the paint.
That's true. But zero in the second half? I mean, that's pretty horrible. And then as far as the Bucks shooting 57%, again, this is a very good Milwaukee Bucks team. We know that. But shouldn't Jim Boylan... of all the crap that we give him, the one thing that I thought he would be good at coaching would be defense.
I was expecting that, too, because early indications were Mr. Disciplinarian, and
exactly.
Usually that's a guy who wants defense.
Yeah, at the very minimum, like a minimal, you know, essential competency for him would have been to be a good defensive coach, and you don't even have that.
Well, their defense overall, if you look at it from a statistical standpoint, there's been some moments where they've been good defensively. Their problem is they're... a team that's as good as they are defensively should be scoring more. They haven't figured out how
turn
to
your
turn
defense in
into
and,
offense,
yeah.
And it's problematic. You had 23 turnovers last night. What did you do with them? You gave the ball back.
You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670, The Score, a radio.com sports station. Shifting gears, Lawrence. Best coach or manager in Chicago sports history, or at least the part of Chicago sports history with which you are comfortable enough to offer an opinion. Phil Jackson is your answer. That's what's leading my Twitter poll question when I last checked. Yeah. With Coach Q in town, I'm asking people today who they think is the best. And Joel is getting support.
There.
I don't know if he's narrowed the gap a little bit, but I'm delighted to see him get a thundering ovation. Apparently, the Thunder started early on the West Side today.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if I'd call that thunder. More cloudy skies and a little sprinkle of rain.
Someone's jersey got put over their head.
Yeah. Oh, I love the jersey
Taves
over
and
the
Keith,
head.
Right?
Yeah. Jonathan Taves and Duncan Keith had a little wrestling match today.
A little sandpaper.
Just boys being boys, right?
Yeah.
They don't have the same rules of business that most of us have.
Well, Taves was, when talking about it, I was a little bit disappointed because he was just kind of smirking and laughing and saying, you know, I guess we're ready for the game tonight. You know the Taves smirk that he was given. So he was,
we were ready for the game, eh?
Yeah, basically. With that little side smile.
I got to work on my Taves. It's getting there, but
yeah,
that's most hockey players
mumble
you just did,
a little
actually.
More, yeah.
That was solid.
Yeah, both teams have won 5 in a row. Should be a big tilt on the United Center ice tonight. I can't go, but I will be watching eagerly. And Joel Quenneville was recently named the coach of the decade for the 10s, teens, whatever you want to call the last decade, and certainly locally, there's nobody in this millennium, for me, in the same area code as this guy. He has completely distanced himself from the rest of the pack, and that includes a guy who won a World Series with the Cubs, Joe Madden.
You probably go Quenneville, Madden, Lovey?
Lovey, maybe. Yeah, probably Lovey. I would think he would be third. I might slip Ozzy above.
Oh, wait, you don't have Phil in your top five.
We're talking about this millennium.
Oh, okay.
Stay focused, Brody.
Quinville, Madden,
pay attention
Ozzie.
To the show.
Where's my coffee?
Yeah, go.
Quinville, Madden, Ozzy, Lovey.
Yeah, that's a good ranking. That's good. And Thibodeau on the outside of that, probably. And then there's a big gap. Yes, there is. Kills him.
Well, Quenneville.
Put him in the Hall of Fame. Put him in the Hall of Fame.
What's happened to him since he was put in the Hall of Fame, by the way? Kobe White, that is. Because
he had a good first half.
Yeah, you know, everybody had a good first half.
Rookie Wall.
Yeah.
He's never played this many games. But it's like... wash, rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
With Bulls prospects. Say the same thing about Lauri Markkanen, Rookie season, up, hit the rookie wall, dealing with injuries, all sorts of stuff. He'll be better next year. And then 2 years from now, we're going to be like, Coby White's like, he's okay, but he's not.
Oh, Wendell Carter Jr. Oh, he's a great leader. He's a great leader. He's
very mature young man.
Yeah, very mature, but he can't really stay healthy, and he's not a great player.
Wash, rinse.
Yeah, that's what you're right about that. Yep. We'll talk some about that today, and we'll also do Baseball Hall of Fame and the cheaters wing some are proposing for this. And
with Joey Greco.
I don't know. I don't have a vote, and those who do take it – some of them take it very seriously. Some of them look at it as just something to pass the time.
I'm at the point where I think that people should vote on the Hall of Fame, that fans should vote on the Hall of Fame because of the fact that some voters don't take it seriously. Some of the voters now allow the fans to reflect what their vote is, which is fine because, 5 years ago we weren't talking about guys who did steroids going in, and now they are, and I think that just reflects what people think at this point. And if it is a museum, that's what the Hall of Fame is, if it's just a toy, basically, maybe the fans should vote on the Hall of Fame and not the writers.
Yeah, I heard Bernstein say today, look at all the guys in the Hall of Fame who used amphetamines. I mean, that was very common in baseball for decades. Guys used those and illegal, against the rules. I can't even remember, but certainly that's a performance enhancing drug of that era. And if they're going to do those things, what would make me think they wouldn't have done steroids? And maybe it's not germane to the conversation, but I don't know.
I've decided that I don't care anymore.
Like, so you'd be with me then, Lawrence? Let the fans vote.
I don't care anymore. He's nearing 50.
I've been a hardliner for a really long time about guys cheating the game, but. If you do any sort of historical look back at the game, this game has been cheating on a lot of levels for a very, very, very long time. So I don't care anymore.
Yeah, I understand that. I just, ambivalence or indifference, I totally get it. I would understand it. Hub's going to join us today. Former Blackhawk member of the NBC Sports Chicago team, Steve Conroy, will check in as his former neighbor, Joel Quenneville, is in town. They were very, very, remain very close, so we'll get his take and talk about fights in practice on hockey. You've seen some fights in the workplace and near fights over there.
I've been a part of them.
All right, refresh me.
Some of them you don't know. I mean, they were happening a long time ago over at NBC.
Oh, please tell.
You touched. Did you actually physically? Yeah, I shoved a guy once.
A long time ago.
The shove on.
I went after Al Zamora a long time ago back at the bunker.
Isn't Mike kind of a small guy?
They're comparable in size.
I mean, you're like
Lawrence is a little thicker.
Guy,
yeah, Lawrence is thicker.
Lawrence got some muscle. Yeah,
Lawrence is only one weight class ahead of Mike El Zamora.
Yeah, I could drop down. You give me a week, I can make weight.
So wait, El Zamora, you got into? I think I knew that.
Why Mike El Zamora, who was the associate program director here for a little while after he was a producer for several years?
This is when I was younger. I was.
Here come the qualifiers.
I love it.
And I had just kind of gone through a bout of Crohn's, so I was real crabby.
In a crappy mood, huh?
Yeah, so to speak.
sorry, Gross. Come on, not while I'm drinking my coffee, man.
And it was one of those things where we had just kind of moved. I think we had just moved the lineup, and I was producing overnight. And they were like, oh, well, then you're going to also stay and produce Murph. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense for me to be here at 11 p.m., and then produce until 8 a.m. And he basically gave me the because I said so thing.
Oh, boy.
And that lit the fuse. Yeah. So
I was not a big fan of his. I sent him home one day when he was producing our afternoon show
because
I caught him in a lie. Oh, I liked him on a personal level, but he flat out lied to me.
But Jonathan, because, Jonathan is significantly bigger than me. And at the time, I was probably, after dealing with that round of Crohn's, I was probably 145, 150 pounds. So Jonathan literally just picked me up and walked me out into the parking lot.
I can see your arms and legs.
I mean, that was pretty much the scenario that was at play.
Wow. So you beat up Mike El Zamora. That is something.
I did not beat up.
You didn't beat him.
But I was going to.
Okay. It was going to happen.
Yeah. My money's on the HF Viking in that one. I'll lay big odds on that one, too. Put a lot of money on it. Have a great day, Lawrence.
Thanks.
See you tomorrow.
See, Grody is just like in the podcast. It's all this stuff.
I know. We talked about it all. Yes, we did.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.